Good morning. And it's really good to be here with you again this week to share with you what the Lord has laid in my heart. Now, before I even go any further in this message, like, Judy is so much nicer than I am because she was like, well, if you'd like to bring something. Listen, we need for you to bring something. I know some of you guys cook really, 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 really well. And some of my, one of my great cooks won't even be here. I'm not even looking at him. He's going to be at Casa Isabelita or something like that in Costa Rica. So I need for you to like think of that big dish that you want to share with folks and heat it up, bring it out that day and come on out and bring your friends in 2 weeks' time at Miramar Regional, not Brian Piccolo Park. Miramar Regional Park. So remember that. All right. So now that I have that out of here, I want to ask you a question this morning. How is 2017 treating you so far? Good. Well, I know for some people it's good, and for some people there are some car issues. I was sharing with a sister of mine yesterday that my car, which is 12 years old, which I treat like a little baby, decided to get sick, and I was not happy because I had to decide what I was going to do with my car. And I was sharing with her, and then she called me as I was picking up my car to tell me her transmission died, and I'm like, all right. So I know for some people it's not good. But let me ask you a second, and some people it's great. A second question I have is, how are the New Year's resolutions coming along so far? They're coming. They're coming. I'm looking around and trying to see people's faces. I get a little mixed bag here of some good, some not. Well, I want to say that I believe that for some of you it's going great. And for others of you, it's not going so great. And here's the good news. No matter which category you fit in this morning, whether 2017 is going great for you or 2017 is not going for great, I have two pieces of good news for you. Number one, you can always start over. Today's a new day. So if you fail before, you can always start over. Today's a new day. And number two is today's message is really on how you can stand when the going gets tough and it's pushing you back and forth and that piece of chocolate cake comes by in front of you and it starts to beckon you. It says, come, taste and see that I am good. And that's not the Lord speaking, that's that chocolate cake speaking. Or, you know, one of our men in church this morning, he knows I have this long struggle with hard bread. He's walking by. He said to me, hey, Gary, would you like some hard bread? And I was like, looking at him, and I started shaking. he knows I'm not even looking at him. But, you know, then he apologized, and he said what all men do is like, well, my wife gave it to me, so I was sharing it with you. So, but if today's message to you, because I want you to be able to stand firm when the storm comes. This is what the Bible actually says, when the storm comes, because the storm always is going to come. That's just a fact of life. But before we go any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's always an awesome responsibility to carry your message. Lord, it's my desire, it's my prayer, my pleading with you that you minimize all of Gary and you maximize all of you so that whatever is spoken is your words only and not mine. I pray that it will impact lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If this is your first week here for the year, you know we've been doing a series that we call The Basics. I kind of gave a teaser on it on New Year's Eve, but we really got into it last week. And the basic is really the things that we need to do to really stay firm and stay grounded or be grounded. And just kind of a little recap, I said that most of us live our lives in a circle. We live our lives in a circle. And I got to make sure I got the circle right? So I'm following it because, you know, I'm looking at a different monitor. Which is this way? This way. This way? This way. All right. Yeah. It doesn't really matter because we live our lives in a circle. We start out and we make these plans and these New Year's resolution, and then we do some stuff, and then all of a sudden life happens. And then, you know, the end of the year goes by, and then we start over the year again, and we're like, oh, snap, I didn't accomplish what I said I was going to accomplish. And so we start over, make the same New Year's resolutions, and we have the same habits,
the same bad habits, the same struggles, the same thing, and we come back and we start over, and we do it all over again. And so, you know, we want to break out of that, and so we want your 2017 and beyond to be better than your 2016 and before. So we say, we want you to get out of that circle, and we want you to go into a new circle. A new circle of behavior and habits, so that your 2017 and beyond will not look like your 2016 and before. And we said that most of the time we fail to get into that new circle because of one thing. We're relying on will and the powers that will give. We're relying on willpower, and willpower will not work because the problem is that it requires your will. And so what we're saying here is that we need a higher power. Because higher power beats willpower every time. You can't change yourself, but a higher power influencing you, and you standing on that can change you and will change you, and it beats willpower every time. So instead of saying, I can do this, you say, I can do this through him who strengthens me. Because you can't do it on your own. And so that's what this whole series is about. And last week, we were talking about fasting. And we talked about, you know, we briefly touched on there's some health benefits to fasting. But we said that there are some things, and Jesus himself said this. The disciples couldn't heal somebody, and they asked Jesus, like, why can't we heal? And Jesus says, well, there's some things that can only be done through prayer and fasting. And so we call the church to a fast. And let me tell you, the stories that I've heard, and I'll tell you that it's the people that I've spoken, so, you know, I'm not going to tell you it's like 100 stories I've heard, but just people that I've spoken to, doing it, myself included, just seen a tremendous blessing. There's like stories, I have like 5 stories I could tell you right now about people seeing Jesus show up in their decision making, people see Jesus show up in the struggles that they're having, and the strongholds that are being broken down through fasting, and that's one of the basics. And so, here's the problem, is that fast ends. Fast come to an end. And even though the stronghold is broken, the devil likes to come and tell you, like, taste and see that this hard bread is good. Taste and see that whatever it was your stronghold before is good. You remember what it was like? You remember? And it's like, and he calls you during those times when you're weakest, because when you're fasting and stuff and you're weakening the body, your spirit is strong. And so, you know, we're going to talk about that. And so, you know, Jesus said, look, my desire for you is to be able to stand. And how you stand, you got to be planted. And how you do that is this. He says, you know, he had just finished giving his biggest sermon. He talked about every topic known to mankind. And at the end of it, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Not only hears these words, but whoever hears these words and puts them into practice, they are like a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, when you build your house on the rock, and the hurricanes come and the storm comes, that house will stand firm because it's planted on the rock. And I know what some of you guys are saying this morning. Yeah, some of you guys are thinking right now, saying, you're a pastor. You're supposed to say that. You're supposed to say that. And others may be thinking, well, I've tried that. I've tried reading the Bible, and the Bible is like really too hard to understand, and I don't really get it. I don't even know really where to start. Do I start at the top and start reading down? And then, you know, I open it one day. Somebody says, open it and read it, and I saw these begats and this begat, that, and this begat. I don't even know what a begat is. And you go through all these things and until you get to the point where you're just saying, I'm never going to open it. I'm not going to open it because I don't really get anything out of it. And the problem that it is that it doesn't become alive for you. And the reason why I know that some of you are going through this is because I've gone through it. And I believe, Donald always tells me, you know, if you turn on the light and you see one cockroach, there's 50 other cockroaches that you don't see. I don't know how he knows that because he hasn't seen the other 50. But regardless, if I have the question And I had the question. I know that there are a number of people who's like, they don't read the Bible because it's not alive. It's not relevant. It hasn't done what the pastors on the platform and other people are talking about. It's not doing that in your life. And you're like, well, what's the point? And it wasn't like that for me until I got to, I don't know, around 18, 19, somewhere around there. Then it hit me like a ton of bricks. That this thing is alive. You look at it and he's like, no, it's just a book with papers and numbers and different fonts and subheadings and stuff. But this thing is alive. And I'm going to tell you how I know it's alive. And I'm going to tell you that in a second. But there's a verse that you know, kind of was preparing for this, like, that really illustrates it. It says this: for the word of God, this thing, is alive. And it's powerful. And not only is it alive and powerful, it's sharper than the sharpest sword that has two edges. It's a sword. It cuts up the three parts of every person, which is their soul, spirit, and body. So it cuts between your soul and your spirit, and your body, as described here, the joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts. You read this, and this thing does that. And what's really cool about it is that it's the most amazing piece of literature ever, in that I could read the same passage of scripture today, and I could read it tomorrow, and I get something different out of the very same passage of scripture. I could have a problem. I'm like, God, I need some instruction. I need some help. I don't know how to make this decision. I'm going through this struggle. And I'm like, Lord, I need to hear from you. And I open up the word, and something I've read 1,000 times before, all of a sudden, right there in one sentence, bam! And when that hit me, I was like, wow. But I know, because many of you are like me, there may be some folks in here who are like, I'm not really convinced. But here's what John, one of Jesus' disciples, wrote. He kind of observed Jesus, and he watched. He wrote, and these are kind of the words that John described and penned because of all his conversation with Jesus. He said this. What did he say? In the beginning was the Word. In other words, before there were dinosaurs, before there were humans, before there were Big Bang, as in God said it, bang, and it happened, was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. God said, look, I am going to create the whole world, and I'm going to have some blueprints, and I'm going to have some plans, and that's going to be the word by which this order of this universe is created. And by the way, each and every person who will ever set foot on this, I have some blueprint and I have some plans, and he called that the word. He says, in the beginning, before anything else would start, every last one of y'all was thought about, and he had some plans for you, and he put it in the word. And you're like, well, how is that even possible? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because the word was with God. So God established the blueprints, and he kept it right here. But not only did he keep it right here, he stepped into it. And the word was God. These blueprints and these plans that are in this book is God's word jumping in into the pages, into this book. And so it's dynamic. Two people read exactly the same thing, and one gets something that's for them. And somebody else gets something that's for them, that's God saying, that's the plans I have for you. It's right here, right here. And it's amazing because it don't make a lick of sense, but it makes so much sense because if you've experienced it, you know exactly what I was talking about. So in the beginning was the blueprints and the plan. And the plans and blueprints was with God, God the Father. And by the way, he jumped into it and he said, and the word was God. And not only did he do that, he actually even went further. And I'm like so fired up and excited about this. I've been like studying this thing for like 2 weeks. And I apologize to you guys if you guys aren't excited as me, but don't worry, just hang with me. Because I think he's really excited. Because not only did he create this word and he was God and all this stuff, he's sitting up in heaven, he's like, okay, I got to do one step better. And just a few verses later, he said this. And this word became flesh and came to live with us. That's the story of Jesus and kind of Jesus coming to this earth, the Christmas story. You guys know the Christmas story, right? That's it. It's the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and he came and lived among us and experienced everything. And then when he was leaving, he's like, I want to make people make sure they have this written, because sometimes, you know, when they pray and they kind of get the, you know, something happens between the communication, and so he directed his spirit that he left behind to say, hey, inspire these men to write down these blueprints and these plans that will change every time they read it. Same words, but the meaning just gets illustrated and just pops out and pops out. As I know, and some of you are listening, I'm like, whatever, man. Like, I read the Bible. None of that ever happened to me. It never really came alive to me. It was never really, like, powerful to me. It was just a bunch of words. And this two-edged sword thing, I don't even know what a two-edged sword is, you know. And you guys are struggling with that. And so my job today, I have one job that God has given me today, is to let you know how to let the Word come alive in you to direct your thoughts, your decisions, your actions, and to help you stand firm against the buffeting of the winds and waves that will call you back into the strongholds that your fasting is breaking. So we're going to come along and ride on a fantastic voyage. Only one person got that. That's good. This guy's not listening to music. That happens through one word. It can only come alive through one word. And that word is this. Faith. It can only come alive through faith, and you ask, well, what is faith? And I could tell you faith is, you know, substance, things hoped for. But no, what I'm talking about this morning is faith. It's a supernatural belief that this book is the living, active, dynamic Word of God. It's faith that when I open it, this is what God's saying, and so it's God in written form, and this was illustrated, you know, when the writer of the Hebrews he said, look, he's like talking about his own experience, and he's like, you know, there's like a couple groups of people and two groups of people, and one group of people kind of got the word, and it made a whole lot of sense to them. And the other group of people heard the same words, and it didn't make any sense to them, and there was one reason. One believed that it was the word of God that they were hearing, and the other one didn't. Here's what it says in Hebrews 4:2. He says, for we also, the good news people, have heard the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message that this group heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of us who obeyed. This word will mean nothing to you, and you will not open it if you don't first start out with believing that this can change your life. And so, I know some of you are saying, well, Gary, you're getting to it. That's my problem. You see, I don't really believe that this is the Word of God. And I've spoken to so many people, and two are coming to my mind right now who said, that's my problem. I don't really believe it. I'm like, well, you won't experience it unless you believe it. All right, so it's a cause and effect. But there is something that activates your faith. In other words, I didn't get to the point of believing when at 16, 17, I questioned everything that my parents taught me, all of the church that they sent me to. I'm like, what is this stuff? How do I know it's not Islam? How do I know it's not Buddha? And my poor father, you know, he was a little bit more patient than my poor mother, who thought, you know, oh, Lord Jesus, he's going to hell. until faith, in order for your faith to become real, it has to be activated. And faith is activated by revelation. Not the last book in the Bible, but by revelation. In order for your faith to come alive, you need revelation. And here's what I mean by that. And you know, I talked about it before. Have you ever read a passage in the Bible? Then all of a sudden, you've read that thing 1,000 times, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's there? That's in there? That's what I mean by revelation. That something comes alive in it, and you see something that you never see before. You're like, wait, if I do that, that can impact the decision that I need to make. I'm going to try that. And you try it and it works. You're like, this thing is real. So faith is activated by revelation. And the thing is, you know, sometimes you pray about something and you open it up and you see the answer right there. You're like, oh my God, it's right there. And you know, in the original language, and I joke all the time, I'm not a linguist. I told somebody once, I'm not a Greekicist, I don't speak Greek, but I can read. I can read an English word and a Greek word. And in the original language, the word that's translated in our English Bible as word, W-O-R-D, that word is really, in the original language, there are two words that are used, and the Bible uses different ones at different times. One is a word called logos, which is the spoken or written word. It's like when you read a book, you're reading the logos. When I'm speaking, you're listening to logos. It's kind of like the word. And follow along with me here, because I tell you, it's a fantastic voyage. And so just follow along with me. And the second Greek word is a word called rhema. And rhema means the revealed word. And here's an illustration of a story that we all know very well. We just talked about the story, about what happens. See, in Luke 1, Jesus, you know, an angel comes to Mary. You know, Mary and Joseph, you all know the Christmas story. Angel comes to Mary, and he says to Mary, hey, Mary, guess what? Hello. I got a message from God for me. It's a paraphrase, it's Gary Wallace paraphrase, but you can read it in Luke 1:27, I believe it is. It's like, hey, Mary, I got a message from you. Some stranger pops into her life and says, I got a message for you. And a message from God, and I want to tell you that, Mary, you are favored. And Mary, not only are you favored, I want you to know, I'm going to tell you something, but before I want to tell you that something, I want to let you know that God is with you. Because what I'm going to tell you is going to blow your mind. But I want you to know God is with you. You're highly favored. And this is what Mary said here. Mary said this. She didn't say this. It was in her mind. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, at his logos. She's like, I hear what you're saying. And it's bothering the heck out of me. And I don't even know what kind of greeting it is. You just pop up and out of nowhere. And you come, I got a message from God for you. And you pop up. She's like, I'm like, you are out of your mind. You are some bogus strange. I'm just a farm girl. And so the angel has this conversation with Mary. And then, and a little bit further on, like it's 9 verses later, Mary, something happens. That logos change. That words change. And she said this. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, after she heard all the angel had to say. May your word, your rhema, to me be fulfilled. I don't know about you, but something clicked in Mary's head that's like, all of a sudden, the words that the angel brought from God went from just being mere words to like, yeah, I'm Mary. May your words be fulfilled, because that's pretty awesome that I'd be the mother of Jesus. But if you're like me, you're like, that's all fine and dandy that I need faith to make it come alive, and in order for me to have faith, it's got to be activated by revelation. But how do I get revelation? How do I get it? I have picked up the Bible before, and I've looked in the Bible, and none of that's been revealed to me, so I close it. Well, you know what? I'm glad you asked. Because revelation is activated by meditation. Faith is activated by revelation. Revelation is activated by meditation. And meditation is a process of of concentrating on one thing, and you kind of think about it and you ponder it, and you know, it says the Bible actually tells you that Mary did that. She like pondered it in her heart, she's like meditating on these words, and he's like ponder it. And there's a guy who was kind of listening to some of his teachings. This guy named Chris Hodges, and he was saying that this is like a cow chewing his cud. We're in the city. You guys don't know anything about cows and cud and all this other stuff. So I'm gonna explain it to you. When a cow eats grass or hay, whatever the cow eats, the cow eats weed. He doesn't smoke it. So when the cow eats the grass, he chews it, and then when it's moistened enough, he swallows it. And then after he swallows it, it gets churned around in the first part of his stomach, and it gets mixed with digestive juices, and this kind of sounds kind of gross, but it is pretty cool. He brings it back up, and he chews it again. This whole process takes like 8 hours. He's just chewing on that piece of grass, and then he swallows it again, and it goes on, the nutrients get all throughout his body. When we meditate on God's word, that's what we're supposed to do. We take a passage of scripture and we like think about it. It was like, man, I wonder why did God put this thing in here? And it's like, you start to like, you know, like, I wonder why. You start to chew on it, and you go to work, and you know, you may make a little note on your phone, and you know, you have a break or a meeting is boring or whatever it is, and you look at it, and like, well, I wonder why he put that in there. And you're like chewing on your cud, chewing on the cud of the scripture until bam. The Logos becomes Rhema. So, here's what God told Joshua. And Moses had just died. Back in the children of Israel, you know, just moving to about ready to go into the promised land. Moses just died. Everybody was all, oh my God, Moses is dead. And God's like, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lead the people. And you're going to have to make some decisions, Joshua. You're going to have to take some tough decisions. And people are going to push you from side to side. But Joshua, I want you to know this. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to study this book of instruction. I want you to study this book, the Torah. I want you to study it continually. Not only do I want you to study it, I want you to chew on it. Not 8 hours, but 24 hours. Chew on it, day and night. Kind of think about it. So that when you do that, it becomes part of your body, and when you do that, be careful to obey everything written in it. When you do that, then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll be successful. And God laid it out for Joshua. You know, that says you do this, you'll be prosperous and successful. And so, you know, there it is. Faith is activated by revelation. Revelation is activated by meditation. So here's what we know. We know this. Knowing something and doing it are two different things. I know I need to prepare for this presentation at work on Tuesday. When I fly out, Connecticut. But I haven't done it. And the reason why we don't do it are many reasons. One, we don't really know how to do it. How do I do this revelation meditation thing? And I hear the words that are coming out of your mouth, but it certainly ain't revealed to me. Well, you may be asking, brother, how do I trust something that, you know, that I don't really understand? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because the reason I'm glad you asked the question, even though you didn't ask it, I'm just assuming you did, is because I have the answer for you. It's whenever that comes up, I want you to give you a challenge this week to have a simple prayer. Say, God, make it come alive in me. Give me what I need to do it, for it, this word to come alive in my life. But you guys know me. You know I like things. I like to make things really practical. So I'm going to give you three more steps. Step number one. If you want to make the Bible come alive in your life, you got to accept it. You got to assimilate it. And you got to apply it. I'm going to talk through those in a second because you don't have to understand something to accept it. I don't understand thermodynamics, but I get in an airplane. I don't understand the wind, but I know it exists. So I'm not asking you to go blind faith. What I'm asking you to say, a simple prayer, God, I'm going to read this Bible. And every fiber of me says, don't believe it. But I'm just going to take it at your word. That's just a small faith that we're talking about. But if you really want to make the Bible come alive, the first thing is you got to accept it. And that's what I'm talking about is God's word. That says, God, I don't know if it's your word or not, but I'm going to trust for this moment. I'm going to trust that this is God's word. And again, if you're not a church person, you didn't grow up in church, you're like, eh. But I'm challenging you. Just say, just give it a try. Say, for the next month, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to trust that it's God's word. And the whole process of making the Bible come alive in your life starts with that thing I'm asking you to do for at least a month if you aren't a church person. And your faith is not really there, is to say, I'm going to trust that what I read is God's word. Just for a month. Right? And so it's my first time. The second thing that you got to do is you got to assimilate it into your life. And you have to put his truth, you have to put the things that you read in here, the principles that you read in here, you got to put it into practice, into your marriage, into your boyfriend and girlfriend relationships, into your boss-employee relationships, into your parent and children relationship, and then you read something here, it's like, well, I'm going to try that in my relationship. And so that's, you're going to assimilate it into your life, and the way that you're assimilated into your life, there are a number of ways. The first way is by listening. It's by listening to it. And it's funny. Here's what Paul says in Romans 10:17. He says, faith comes from hearing the message. If you want to like get that faith to start off, you got to like make it a practice to hear the message. And the message through the word from Christ, from Jesus, about Jesus Christ. Now, here, let me tell you. I would implore you and tell you guys that you should not miss hearing the word. You should not miss church. Because this is a critical part of having assimilate, because you have somebody who is teaching what some of the more difficult parts are to understand. And they're teaching it, and he's like, oh. And all of a sudden, the logos starts to become rhema, and it only comes from, well, one of the ways it comes from hearing and you listening. And not only here on Sunday mornings, and I can recommend some, Ingrid, you can ask many people, not. Many people can recommend different pastors you can listen to on podcasts. And listen to podcasts and listen to three or four different people. And I subscribe to probably about 12 different podcasts of different teachers, Bible teachers. And whenever I need to learn something about a topic, I scroll through all their podcast history and I look to see what they've said about these things, and I read the Bible and I look at what they said, and I said, God, what are you saying to me? And I hear it. I'm like, how so? And I assimilate it into my life. Right? But not only do you have to listen to it, the second thing you have to do is to read it. See, listening to the one thing, and be careful sometimes when you listen, because people tell you stuff, so you gotta read it and go verify yourself. Oh, you know, I heard so and so, I heard Pastor Gary saying this. Let me go read it for myself and see what it says. Like, oh, it really is so. And if you don't think it's so, you come and tell me, says Pastor Gary, Ah, no, so. It is not so. And then we'll have a dialogue, and I'll explain to you why I believe that it is so. And we'll have a dialogue, and through that, the Logos becomes Rhema. He's like, ah, I get it. And you know, you know, there was a, we're talking about fasting. We had fasting last week, and Jesus himself used to love to quote scripture. And y'all don't believe me, so let me just tell you, Jesus was completing this 40-day fast, and he was doing a special fast. He was like nothing to eat, you know, for 40 days. And around the end of the 40 days, the devil walks up to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, I know you're hungry." And he said to Jesus, "Hey, if you do this, you'll get some bread." Jesus said three words that are some of the most powerful words that he only got from reading. He said, "It is written." And he went through and says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil tried to tempt him with something else, and Jesus popped back and he said, "It is written." And the only reason Jesus knew it was written, well, not because he wrote it, but it's because he read it was written. And Jesus like quoted it, and you and I cannot say that unless we read it and we know that it's there. And we say, when the devil comes to us, like, "It is written." And you know, there are 72 times, I believe, in the Bible where different Bible writers like, "It is written." They're quoting other people. "It is written." And then other people quote them. "It is written." Folks, the Bible is a weapon. I read before the first passage that says it's a sword. It's a sword. It's a weapon. And the devil comes at you, and the devil is like, he's kind of like coward. He comes at you and he like throw these darts of fire at you. He throw these darts of fire at you. He's like, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you eat a little bread?" He's like, "Throw this little darts at you." And you like take out the sword. And you suit up and you're like, boom. "It is written. It is written." And I don't know about you, but that's powerful to me, because the devil can't be matched. And he has to run to some other thing to try something else. And he tries something else, you're like, "It is written." And it's a powerful weapon. And you know, you may not know how to read the Bible. Let me tell you, get a Bible reading plan. You can just Google it. It's like Google Bible reading plan, and you see a million of them. You know, one thing that was popular some years ago was the one-year Bible. And you can read through the Bible in a year, and it gives you a reading plan for that. One that I really liked, and I did it, and I gave it to Jonathan when he was much younger, is the chronological Bible. It just actually takes the Bible like a book from top to bottom, from the earliest time, and it reads through like the book, and it intersperses different. Another thing that I did last year was I read the Gospels, that Jesus' teachings, and I read them over and over and over for almost an entire year, for about 9 months. Just read it over and over and over, and I did a series called Speaking of Jesus, and that came out of there, because I'm like, everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus, everything in the New Testament points back to Jesus. Let me just really get indwelling me what Jesus himself said, and it was just really good. You can get a daily bread, you know, or a daily bread, and Patrice turned me on to something recently called First 15, which I've been doing, and it has a devotional in there, and then, you know, you read about some stuff, and then it has a passage at the end, and you read it. And it's the most interesting thing on it is that it works. But when you read it, the third thing that you got to do, so you hear it, you read it, and the third thing is you reflect on it. Kind of think about it. So we talked about it earlier. That's the meditation piece. You kind of reflect on it and you think about it. And really what you're doing there is let the Bible speak to you. He's like, "God, I just read this. I don't know what you said." You're like, "I'm gonna explain it to me." You like think about it. What could Jesus, you know, what could the writer meant? You know, you just start to reflect on it, right? And so that's the Bible speaking to you. And one of the things that I did, and I do, is sometimes when I'm reading, I will pause on one verse, and I'll just read that verse over and over and over again. And I especially do it now whenever I'm preparing for teaching. And folks, I'm just sharing, right? You know, this is not the big preaching message. This is just teaching. And what it does is I break it down. Like when I was reading that verse about, you know, The Word of God is alive and active. I'm like, the Word of God is alive. It's alive and it's active. And when you do that, it's reflecting on it. And it's chewing your cud. And it's coming back up. And you're like thinking about it. It becomes part of your body. And the last thing to do to in order to assimilate it, you got to explore it, which is you study it. And personal study is great. I encourage personal study. What I really encourage is group study. Is get involved in a small group. Get involved with two or three people. You know, even your spouse. And you know, if you can't get into a group for whatever reason, but I encourage small groups. And you, because somebody else's rhema, somebody else's revelation becomes your revelation. You're like, hey, I was reading this thing too, and here's what I got. I go, really? I never saw that. Wow, let me read that. And when you do that, you know, you the first thing you do is you accept it and you assimilate. You start to, things start to like happen inside of you. It's like, whoa. And you find out that this becomes food. Just can't get enough. And the last thing, so you got to assimilate, make it part of your life, and you know, and the last thing that you do is you apply it. As you apply it, you make it real in your life. King David said this in Psalms 119, verse 11. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, when you hear, you read, you reflect, and you explore it, it gets inside of you. And it becomes a part of you. And when the temptations come to go back to the way, God's word just speaks to you. It's like, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Because your word came and changed me. You're a different person inside. And folks, I don't know how to tell you other than to try it. But in applying it, you know, the thing is, you can't just listen to the words. Because if you just listen to it alone, you're deceiving yourself thinking that it's anything. You have to really do what it says. And that's what it says. That's what James says. You know, I love James. You know, he's a real practical guy. You just put it involved in your everyday life. And one of the things that I believe in very strongly, very, 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 very strongly, and hear me real close in this, real carefully in this, because I think you'll find this real helpful, is to find a verse. Find a Bible verse for every situation in your life. So if it's a new situation that I've never hit this one before, ask somebody, hey, do you have any verses you could recommend to me, or go do your own study or Google it or whatever. He's like, and I love Google because you can speak to Google in plain English. Give me a verse that helps me with depression. Google will come back with a Bible verse that helps you with depression. But find a verse, and you own that verse for your situation, for whenever that thing comes up. And every time that situation comes up, you start out with, it is written. He says, you know, you feel fear, or you have money problems, or you have confidence problems, or you can't get healed or something. Then whatever problems you have, come up with a verse. You see, I told you guys before that, you know, one of the things that I was very scared of was failure. That's one of my big fear. I'm afraid of failing. I will not try anything unless I have a high degree of confidence that I can be successful. And I do my homework, and I do my research, and I do all my other things to make sure I can know. And sometimes it's paralyzing to me because I just don't really know. And some years ago, 2012 to be exact, I had a really big opportunity at work. And I put up all these blocks, and the blocks that I put up said this: I will not relocate. I will not travel every week. I will not do something that I don't like. And I had all these things. I'm like, yes, with all of this, nobody would ever hire me for anything else. I'll just stay right here in my happy little world in Florida here. And out of the blue, one of the leaders up north called my boss. This guy, I speak with Gary. Never met this guy before. And this guy, she said, sure. And he calls me. He's like, hey, Gary, I've heard about your name. And you've been talked about in these high potential meetings and yada, yada, yada. And they've been talking about you for years and you haven't made a move. I said, yeah, that's true, because it hasn't felt right. And he's like, okay, I have something I want to tell you. He's like, I have an opportunity for you. You don't have to move. You don't have to travel every week. He lied. And he went through the whole list of things. And he took care of every argument that I ever had. And I'm like, well, I need to think about this, because I don't know if it feels right. And I went, and I'm like scared. I remember driving up to camp that year and talking to Judy and Donna about it in the car going up to camp and just thinking about it. And I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. And in my mind, as I'm praying, 2 Timothy 1:7 came and I said this. It is written, God has not given me a spirit of fear. He has not given me a spirit of timidity. But he gave me a spirit, a power of power and of love and a sound mind. I got a sound mind. I got love and I got Holy Spirit power. It is written, devil, get away from me. It is written, God did not, this fear that I'm feeling, it ain't from God. It is written, the spirit that God gives me is not one of fear. It is written, devil. And I went and took the job. In 4 years, I've had 3 promotions in 4 years from taking that job. It is written. God has not given me a spirit of fear. And you know, and whenever, you know, I feel an attack of any sort, I can quote Luke 10:19 says, it is written. God has given me authority to trample on snakes. He's given me authority to trample on scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Devil, you can't overcome me because I've been given authority over you. Devil, it is written. And nothing is going to harm me. You know, if anything harms me, it's because the Lord says, I'm going to allow this one for some reason. But you can't do nothing to me. Devil, it is written. You know, and whenever, you know, you can fill in the blanks, you know, and whenever, you know, I'm at work and I feel pressure and stress is coming down on me and the boss is mistreating me, I can respond with 2 Corinthians 4:8 that says, look, you are pressing me down. You're stressing the heck out of me. But every side, but I'm not crushed. It is written. I ain't crushed. I may be like, wonder what's going on. And the song said persecuted. It says perplexed. I don't know what's going on. But I know it's written. I'm not abandoned. I am not in despair. So I can trade my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. I am pressed, but not crushed, persecuted. Not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I ain't destroyed, because I'm blessed beyond the curse that is promised will endure, that his joy is going to be my strength. Devil, it is written. It is written. And whenever I fail, because I am going to fail, and whenever I sin and I fall down and the devil's like, you're defeated, God don't really like you anymore, because you say you're all that and a bag of chips and you fail. The song says, 1,000 times I failed. And I'm down there, I'm like, man, I know God's mercy and veil, like the prodigal son, he's like looking out for me. And God's like, I did not create you to be like that. You get up and you say, it is written, we are more, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror because of I who love you. Get on up and tell the devil, and devil, it's written. Because greater is him who is in me than he that is in the world. It is written. This morning I was reading after I prepared all of this. And I'm looking down and I'm like thinking about this message. And I'm like reading the thing that the psalm that Siobhan read, Psalms 27:1. I was like, you know, Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I afraid? Like, devil, it is written. And folks, I want to tell you that if you want your 2017 and beyond to be better than your 2016 and before, everything is written. This is the rock. This is the foundation. This is part of the basics. I don't know how else to tell you but to try it. Because this I know, or whatever I know, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is wise. As a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and your circle will never change until you build your house upon that rock, which is that rock. That's just basic. That's just elementary. And the other thing I'll tell you is that higher power beats willpower every time. And some people are going to leave here thinking like, I really want to try that. Been there, done that. I can do it on willpower. Same circle. Don't change. Higher power beats willpower every time. I'm going to invite the worship team to come to the stage. And as they come, and I share these last couple words, my challenge to you is to test it out. To try it out. Give it a try. First of all, you ain't got nothing to lose. Test it out. Read it. Try it. Meditate on it. Have it revealed to you. You're no worse off if it doesn't work. But I bet you that if you're diligent in doing this and you ask God to say, reveal it to me, and you do your part by meditating on it, reading and meditating on it, it will come alive to you in a way that you haven't seen. Your decisions will be better. Your actions will be better. Your responses will be better. It will just be better. And your 2017 and beyond will not be like your 2016. And before, let's just pray. I'm going to ask you to kind of bow your heads and kind of close your eyes. I'm just going to talk to you for another 30 seconds or so. I know this is hard for some people to assimilate and deal with. And for others, you've been a Christian, and if I ask you, when's the last time you picked up your Bible during the week? And spend some time in it the way that I've talked about today. And you couldn't answer that, well, I've done at least 5 or 6 days out of the week. This message is for you. Or if you're one of those who are reading, but just doing it obligatory, I'm just like reading everything I can real quick, I'm like da-da-da-da-da-da-da, let me like check the box and done. This message is for you. God wants to speak to you and come alive in your life. And the things that you're praying for, you will see them because of the words that's hidden in your heart. The decisions, everything will be so much better. And he's inviting you to take a stand, to step in, to try. And if you, while we're your eyes, heads are bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like for me to pray for you, I don't care what it is, whether you want to try out Jesus for the first time, or you want to try reading out his word and believing what he says, if you just raise your hand, I'll just pray for you. I'm not going to call you. I see a hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see those hands. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? I'm not going to call you to the front or anything. I see that hand. Thank you. One last try. Anybody else? I see that hand. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, there are many folks here who are on different places in their faith journey. And we're standing at the edge, and you've called us to risk it all, as the song says, and enter in and to try it out. And this, God's like, would you just try me and see that I'm good? Would you just taste and see that the Lord is good? Would you try and see that my way is better than your way? That the way that you're doing is not better? I know you think you're giving up so much, but if I tell you to give up $10 and you get $1,000, that's like risk it all. Lord, I pray for each and every person here today, Lord, who is standing on the edge, and you're calling to move, to be grounded. Lord, that you'll just give that conviction to push to the next level. Lord, I pray that when you push them to the next level, Lord, that you'll show up and reveal yourself in a mighty way, that the Logos will become like big screaming rhema in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be up front and, you know, willing to speak with anybody. If anybody wants to speak with me or Patrice, you know, or one of our other ladies. I'm going to ask you to just kind of stand with us, and we're going to sing the song. It's a declaration song. It's a declaration song. You know, God is saying, hey, you've heard. But now he's asking you to risk it all. And we're right here at the end of the song. You're free to go. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. And I want to tell you today that today my fast breaks, so I'm happy. I get to eat. God bless you.
Can you hear the voice of the Father?